Yo, and welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. We coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. All in your mind, bringing you this sports news, this sports talk, the way we bring it to you. We talk about the way we talk about the way we've been talking about it between ourselves, betwixt ourselves, amongst ourselves, but then we bring you into our world. So how we talk about it is how we talk about it. We just hope you enjoy what we talking about, you know, giving you the latest sports stories and our opinions, because things be happening. These sports storylines be amazing, and that's what drive the viewers to want to watch the sports. So we're going to play our part, but we're going to make sure that we display our black athletes in a better light than some of these other outlets, because that's why we do what we do when we do what we do. You heard me? Just a quick note that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. Our stories from my perspective at your fingertips. They bring the information to you, the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora, through a book series, blog, a YouTube channel, a online course, app, nonprofit organization, as well as virtual classes. So all you have to do is visit the website at www.ownershoulders1.com, where you get your hands on the books, some merchandise, and you go through the website. There's enough information on the website for you to learn about a new person from our black history, from my African diaspora. You can learn about a new person a week, a new person a week for the next 3 years. That's just how much information is on the website. So go on the website, binge, go ham, learn some things. www.ownershoulders1.com. All right, so today's show, we got some stuff in the weekly rant really going down. So that HBCU spotlight, right? We got some folk from Norfolk State, you hear me? Some folk from Norfolk State. So Norfolk State's Bobby Dandridge is headed to the Hall of Fame. He's cliffhanger. He headed to the Hall of Fame. So second part of our HBCU spotlight is former Virginia Union star and former Detroit Pistons star Ben Wallace is named to the Basketball Hall of Fame. So we're going to celebrate Benjamin Wallace. And that's going to lead us into, and that's our HBCU spotlight, that's going to lead us into the 2021 Hall of Fame class, which, you know, with Kobe and Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. So those are the headliners of the 2020 class with Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Kobe Bryant. They hold on, it says, well, yeah, so we're gonna get into that. We're gonna get into the details on that. So there's a young lady named Jasmine Moore who surpasses the Olympic standard in the triple jump. And she's a high schooler. She's a high schooler who surpasses the Olympic standard in the triple jump. So we're going to talk about her. This is hip-hop/sports news, but J. Cole becomes the first rapper to be on the cover of Slam magazine, a magazine that's usually dedicated to basketball. So that meant it got something to do with basketball and hip-hop and J. Cole. And that new album is Fi-Fi. Like that Toby Weedway song, Fi-Fi. Wish, that's my side. So then we're going to talk about Tyson Fury and what we thought was Anthony Joshua, but it might be Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, part three, because the judge ordered a third Wilder-Joshua fight, and I believe the contracts have been signed. And they said we're doing this. They said we're doing it. The weekly rant is aimed at Stephen A. Smith, Matt Barnes, Stephen Jackson, and Charlemagne the God. Because they should have just left Kwame Brown alone. Leave Kwame Brown alone. But they ain't want to do that. So that's why I'm putting y'all in my weekly rant. There's some other people I'm going to sprinkle in there. But Stephen A. Smith, Matt Barnes, Stephen Jackson, and Charlemagne the God are going to be the focus of my weekly rant. So let's go ahead and get this week. Let's start this thing off right. With that HBCU spotlight, we're going to start this thing off right with our HBCU spotlight. And we're shining it first on Bobby Dandridge. So Bobby Dandridge was a superstar in the CIAA and an important part of two NBA titles. Because he lied like that. 40 years after retiring, the former Norfolk State College star is finally getting his due. Dandridge was announced as part of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame's 2021 class on Sunday morning. Really going down. The Richmond, Virginia native hit a big growth spurt after entering Norfolk State, playing in the CIAA and Black college basketball's golden era. Dandridge turned out to be a star among stars. Norfolk State's fast-paced offense under Ernie Fears averaged better than 100 points several times during Dandridge's era, without a shot clock or three-point line. Playing along with talented guards like Pee Wee Kirkland and Charles Bonaparte, Dandridge developed into an unstoppable force. He helped lead NSC to the 1968 CIAA title in a championship game that many regard as the greatest in conference history and HBCU history, a 134-132 triple overtime game against North Carolina A&T. The next year, his senior season, he averaged 32 points a game. Dandridge was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks in the fourth round of the same draft that brought Lou Alcindor, now known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The pair of youngsters teamed with Oscar Robertson to lead the Bucks to the 1971 NBA title. A few years later, he would add another title to his resume as a member of the Washington Bullets alongside Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes. Dandridge was a four-time All-Star and averaged 18.5 points per game for his career. That's good. It is long overdue, but finally Bobby Dandridge is headed to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Especially when you consider his college career, which is taken into account into the Hall of Fame. He will be one of two former CIAA players inducted into the Hall of Fame, along with Ben Wallace. The induction will take place on September 11th. Hear, 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 hear. Insert hand claps right here. Hand claps. Don't stop the hand claps. Okay, fade the hand claps out. Fade them out. And hand claps are gone. Bobby Dandridge was a baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blades on him. Baller. Out there on that basketball court. And he finally getting into that Basketball Hall of Fame 2021 class. Or the 2020 class. I'm kind of confused on which class is which now, because I thought Kobe then was the 2021 class, and I don't know. But Bobby Dandridge is going into the 2021 class of basketball, or the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, the overall Basketball Hall of Fame, because he was a baller. Averaged 32 points his senior season. In the NBA, he averaged 18.5 points a game. That's good. As a second and third option, to average 18 for a career, 18 a game, that's good. That is good. And he led his teams to championships, two NBA championships. Buddy played with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson, and then played with Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes. Hey, man. If that ain't a great career, I don't know what is. So Bobby Dandridge deserved all the accolades he get, he deserve all the flowers he get, he deserve all the Hall of Famians that he's getting, because he was a bowler, a shot caller, 20-inch blades on his Impala. Caller, he hitting fades tonight. Triple roll gold, finger rolls in sight. He hit the highway, making money to fly away, dunking on people at the top of the steeple. Oh, shoot, bars, bars, but Bobby Dangerous, man. Sir, Bobby Dangerous, sir. Congratulations to you and your career and all the success that you have had and all the accolades that you are, that you have received, that you continue to receive, and you will receive in the future, because you deserve all of that, because you put in the work and it showed, because you were a competitor, a star among stars, and you were definitely a major contributor to your teams. So hats off to you. Congratulations, sir, on being inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so let's keep this thing rolling in this HBCU spotlight there, shout. So alongside Mr. Bobby Dandridge would be Mr. Ben Wallace, being named to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Baller with the Detroit Pistons, won a championship with them boys. Defensive specialist, defensive monster. Had a chance to watch his whole pro career. Ben Wallace wasn't nothing to be played with out there on that court. He'll fight you too. So ESPN NBA basketball reporter Mark Spears first reported this news Saturday. Wallace, So former Virginia Union star NBA All-Star Ben Wallace will be inducted into the class of 2021 Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. ESPN NBA basketball reporter Mark Spears first reported the news on Saturday. Wallace was a four-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, four-time NBA All-Star, and anchor of a Detroit Pistons team that won a 2004 NBA championship. Prior to crafting an illustrious pro career, Wallace was a first-team Division II All-American at Virginia Union. After going undrafted in the famed 1996 NBA draft, Wallace played 16 seasons in the league for the Washington Wizards, Orlando Magic, Pistons, Bulls, and Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay. Let me find some more information about Ben Wallace. Hold up. Ben Wallace, Hall of Fame. It messed me up. Okay, this go to ESPN. So let's say, so former Detroit Pistons star center Ben Wallace will be inducted into the class of 2021 for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Wallace and the entire 2021 class will be announced on Sunday at the museum in Springfield, Massachusetts. Wallace was best known for his defense as he was a four-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. The former HBCU Virginia Union star won an NBA championship with the Pistons in 2004 and was also a four-time NBA All-Star. He has his number three jersey retired with the Pistons. Wallace began his college basketball career at Cayuga Community College in Ohio before transferring to Virginia Union, where he was a first-team Division II All-American in 1996. After going undrafted by the NBA in 1996, he played for the Washington Bullets, Wizards, Orlando Magic before coming to start with the Pistons. Pistons all-time leader in blocks, also played for the Bulls and Cleveland Cavaliers. Wallace is currently a co-owner of the G League Grand Rapids Drive and has coaching aspirations. And that's all that article has to say about Mr. Ben Wallace. So I guess people don't want to write extensive articles about Ben Wallace coming into the Basketball Hall of Fame, because they say we could just sum it up. Well, sum these up. But congratulations to Ben Wallace for his tremendous stick-to-itiveness, his drive, his passion, his relentlessness. He continued, he persevered, and when he got his chance to shine, he shined. And as they say, the rest is history. Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. Ben Wallace he's already been legit, solidified, all that stuff, respected. Plus, he put them hands on you. So Ben Wallace deserves everything he get, just like my homeboy, Bobby Dandridge, my new homeboy, Bobby Dandridge. So I want to say congratulations to Mr. Bobby Dandridge. Hold up. Insert hand claps for Ben Wallace. Insert hand claps for Ben Wallace. Hand claps. Keep it going. Hand claps. And start the fade. And no more hand claps. So shout out to Ben Wallace. Shout out to Bobby Dandridge. Shout out to everybody from HBCUs who are out there balling in any aspect of life. That's what we do. We hold it down because our HBCUs prepared us to be live in life. And that there, my ladies and gentle ducks, is that HBCU spotlight that shot. The HBCU spot. If you don't know about the HBCU spotlight that shot, the HBCU spotlight that shot. The HBCU spotlight. HBCU spotlight. Spotlight. All right. So 2020 NBA Hall of Fame class. Headlined by the Black Mamba himself, Mr. Kobe Bryant. So everything went down last week, did all the ceremonies and everything. That's what we're talking about again. And so we just want to reintroduce you to the class of 2020 in case you missed it. So it's headlined by the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant. Also, the big fundamental, Tim Duncan, and the big ticket, Kevin Garnett. So, like I said, Kobe Bryant. Then you had Tamika Catchings, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Kim Mulkey. I'm going to go through the names to come back through. Barbara Stevens, Eddie Sutton, Rudy T, a.k.a. Rudy Tomjanovich, Patrick Bowman. So that's the 2020 class. So we know about Kobe, the Black Mamba. So 25 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game, 1 steal per game in 20 seasons. Accolades, 18-time All-Star, 15-time All-NBA, 12-time All-Defensive, 4-time All-Star, MVP, 2-time Finals MVP, 2008 NBA MVP, and 5-time NBA champion. That's Kobe Bryant. Tamika Catchings, 16 points per game, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 15 WNBA seasons. 10-time WNBA All-Star, 12-time All-WNBA, 2011 WNBA MVP, 2012 WNBA Champion, and 1998 NCAA Champion. Tim Duncan, 19 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game, 2 blocks per game, and 19 seasons. 15-time All-Star, 15-time All-NBA, 15-time All-Defensive, 1997-98 Rookie of the Year, 2-time NBA MVP, 3-time NBA Finals MVP, and 5-time NBA Champion. Oh, the big ticket, Kevin Garnett, 17.8 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 3.7 assists per game, 1.4 blocks per game in 21 seasons. 15-time All-Star, 9-time All-NBA, 12-time All-Defensive, 2003 MVP, 2004 NBA MVP, 2008 Defensive Player of the Year, 2008 NBA Champion. Kim Mulkey, nearly 600 wins in 19-plus seasons as a Baylor head coach, 18 NCAA tournament appearances, and 3 NCAA championships. Accolades, 2-time AP College Coach of the Year, inducted into Women's Basketball Hall of Fame as a player in 2000. Barbara Stevens, more than 1,000 wins in 42-plus seasons as head coach, 30 Division II NCAA tournament appearances, 2016 Division II champion. Her accolades are 5-time WBCA National Division II Coach of the Year, inducted into Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in 2006. Eddie Sutton, his stats are 806 and 326 as a Division I head coach, 26 NCAA tournament appearances. He is a two-time AP College Coach of the Year, enshrined in College Basketball Hall of Fame in 2011. Rudy Tomjanovich, his stats, his all-time record is 527-413 in 13 seasons as a head coach, 51-39 in the postseason, two-time NBA champion with Houston Rockets in 1997 All-Star Game coach. Patrick Bowman, elected posthumously by International Committee, Swiss basketball player. He was a coach and executive, served as Secretary General for FIBA for 15 years. And those are the inductees into the 2020 class, the NBA Hall of Fame, or the basketball, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So hand claps, insert hand claps for all of our Basketball Hall of Fame inductees. Hand claps. I see it. Hand claps. All right. Enough hand claps. All right. So 2021, let's go over the 2021 list. So the class of 2021 will be Rick Adelman, Chris Bosh, Yolanda Griffith, Lauren Jackson, Paul Pierce, Bill Russell as a coach, Ben Wallace, Chris Webber, and Jay Wright. So there it is. That's the 2020 class of the 2020 Basketball Hall of Fame class, as well as the 2021 Basketball Hall of Fame class. And you got to be a baller to get to the Hall of Fame. Can't just be no average off the street trying to get to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Think you just going to show up and not show out and get to the Basketball Hall of Fame. You must have bumped your head. You got to bring your A game. You got to be down like Brandy was, right? If you want to get to that Hall of Fame, you got to be down like Brandy was. You got to be willing to put in that work. When ain't nobody else in the gym, you in the gym. Ain't nobody else in that weight room, you in that weight room. And everybody else tired and they don't want to do that, you in that weight room, you in that shoot. And everybody else want to go to the club, you in that gym shoot, right? You doing your suicides. You lifting them weights. You shooting them shots. You chasing them rebounds. You doing your push-ups. You doing your sit-ups and your squats and stuff. You eating right. You getting your mind right. You getting your rest. That's how you get to the Hall of Fame. How you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. How you get to the Hall of Fame? Practice. Practice. We talk about practice. Work. If you ain't willing to put in that work, you ain't talking about none with that Hall of Fame. Because if you want that Hall of Fame, you're going to take that work. You heard me? So 2020 and 2021, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame classes. Why did I throw the West Side up? I don't know. So let's talk about a young lady named Jasmine. Who balling on these people. Jasmine Moore, I hear balling on them. So, former Mansfield Lake Ridge phenom Jasmine Moore surpasses Olympic standard in the triple jump. So, to compete in this year's Olympics, Georgia sophomore just now needs to finish top three at U.S. Trials. So, I might be, oh yes, this is high school, so. Former Mansfield Lake Ridge superstar Jasmine Moore cleared a big hurdle Saturday in her bid to compete in this year's Olympics in Tokyo. Moore won the triple jump at the SEC Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Okay, so she's not high school. She's in college. Okay, yeah, so this is... So let me read this. Mansfield Lake Ridge senior Jasmine Moore poses for a portrait at the Dallas Morning News. So the picture they have for her is in 2019 when she won the UIL class 6A state titles in long jump and triple jump. Okay. And I guess Illinois, I don't know. But okay, so Moore won a triple jump at the SEC Outdoor Track and Field Championship. So she is in college. She's in college. She's not a high school young lady. She's in college. Correction, excuse me. Moore won the triple jump at the SEC Outdoor Track and Field Championships with a personal best and wind legal jump of 47 feet, 2.50 inches. That not only gave the 20-year-old Georgia sophomore her third SEC title in the triple jump, her first outdoors. but it surpassed the qualifying standard 46.11.75, needed to compete at the Olympians. Moore's jump ranks number 2 in the United States and is the 12th best in the world this year, according to Track and Field News. Bowling! Man, that's what I'm talking about. Jumping out the gym. Jumping at the outside. She jumping at the outside on y'all. Y'all ain't talking about nothing on Jasmine. Jasmine jumping at the outside on y'all. Moore is one of 3 Americans who have the Olympic standard in the triple jump, according to Georgia's Sport Information Department. To compete in the Olympics, Moore now needs to finish in the top 3 at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials that will be in June on the 18th through the 27th at Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon. What up, Eugene? Moore, a 9-time state champion at Lake Ridge, was named the Gatorade National Girls Track and Field Athlete of the Year as a senior in 2019 because she balling. She won the Class 6A state title in the triple jump that year with a leap of 44.10, which broke the state record at the national record for the high school-only competitions. Hey, if you can't compete, you're going to lose. When Jasmine show up, if you can't compete, you're going to lose. One thing that you know you're going to do, lose. All right. Moore's win aided a triple jump of 45.75 at state as a senior in 2018. It's the 3rd best mark in national history for all conditions. I'm going to read that again. Moore's win aided triple jump of 45.475 at state as a junior in 2018 is the 3rd best mark in national history for all conditions, according to Track and Field News. I'm going to read it one more time with Dr. Umar, y'all. Read it one more time. Moore's win aided triple jump of 45.475 at state as a junior in 2018 is the 3rd best mark in national history for all conditions, according to Track and Field News. That would have beaten the overall national record of 44.11.75 if it had been a wind legal jump. Forget your wind. Curse us to the wind. Curse us. Moore was Sports Day All-Area Girls Track and Field Athlete of the Year in 2018 and 2019 and won 4 consecutive state titles in the long and triple jump on y'all face because her name is Jasmine and she can jump way more than you. Get it? It really should be she can jump longer than you or further than you. But since her last name Moore and you can use it with the country grammar, Jasmine can jump more than you. So that's how it goes. So Jasmine Moore, we wish you the best. We know you're going to make them Olympics. We know you're going to make them Olympics. We know you're going to finish in the top 3, make them Olympics. And we're going to be around here saying, hey, man, that's our home girl, Jasmine Moore. Because guess what? Jasmine can jump way more than you. So congratulations to Jasmine Moore. We wish you the best. And we will see you in the Olympics. Damn sure. Gonna see you at the Olympics. Damn sure. Gonna be there in the Olympics. Damn sure. Gonna be there in the Olympics. Damn sure. Gonna be there in the Olympics. All right, so there's a gentleman by the name of John Keller. And John Keller was in a peculiar situation that led to shooting. And he's now out of the hospital. So, and John Keller is a Central Michigan quarterback who was released from the hospital 1 month after the shooting. So the father of John Keller announced via Twitter on Friday that the Central Michigan quarterback who started his college career with the Cincinnati Bearcats was going home from the hospital about 1 month after being shot at an off-campus party at Central Michigan University. Let's read more. John is headed home today. God is great. Ray Keller wrote on Twitter. Thank you to Hurley Medical Trauma Team for saving his life and the amazing care. At CMU Football for their support, our community, and all of you for your thoughts and prayers. On May 1st, Ray Keller announced that via Twitter that his son was recovering and no longer using a ventilator. The Isabella County, Michigan Sheriff's Office announced in April that authorities took a suspect into custody following the shooting of Keller, as well as another Central Michigan student. Kenneth Thomas was arraigned in Isabella County trial. He pleaded not guilty to 10 charges. So a GoFundMe was established to assist with Keller and his family with medical expenses. Keller didn't play in a game as a freshman for the Cincinnati Bearcats in 2018 as a walk-on from North Canton Hoover High School. After Cincinnati, he attended Pearl River Community College before committing to Central Michigan in 2020. So he didn't play last year because he sat out last year, but was subsequently shot, and he just released from the hospital and is off the ventilator. And we are happy that John Keller is alive and better and here and well and being able to live his life and may or may not be able to play football again in the future. And if he's not, we are thankful that he has his life. And if he is, we pray that he go out there and ball out. So glad the recovery is there. I just wanted to introduce y'all to Ray Keller. If y'all didn't know who Ray Keller was, give y'all some information about Ray Keller situation. And then, you know, show the man some love, man. Show Ray Keller some love all the way from the Fix Sports Podcast. You know how we get down. We stay down, we be down. So there it is. All right, so moving further along, this show not going to be the longest ever, but we're going to get it in. So that boy, J. Cole, out here doing it. Do it. Do it. Do it till you're satisfied, whatever it is. So, J. Cole is the first rapper to grace the covers of Slam Magazine. And he dropped the Fire album, The Warm Up. My life is all I have. I made through the pain and strife. I'm saying the Pharaoh Munch Styles P version. When I come from so often, we got them laying in the coffin. So my town now, my world, my life, my life. So J. Cole and them used that hook on one of the songs. So the tangible collection, the tangible connection, like my Wi-Fi, between basketball and J. Cole's music is one of the recurring themes of his career. Two of the former St. John's men's basketball team walk-ons, earliest career mixtape covers for The Warm Up and Friday Night Lights, his debut album, Cold World, The Sideline Story, and his upcoming sixth album, The Offseason, contain J. Cole with a basketball sitting in a locker room and a regulation 10-foot hoop behind him. What could that mean? That's why Slam Magazine put him on its cover for its latest issue, revealed Tuesday, May 11th. It's a historic move for the issue number 232, making J. Cole the first rapper or solo artist ever placed on the influential hip-hop oriented Hoops publication cover in its 27-year history. And that is a historic monumental NFT that would be expensive. J. Cole stands for everything Slam stands for, the way basketball and music overlap and inspire greatness is one another. Slam's chief content officer, Adam Figmont, said this cover was a long time coming and we're proud that we're able to make it happen just as Cole was about to release an album influenced by his love of the hoops. That was me making a shot. The cover story about J. Cole focuses on the concept behind hit album titled The Offseason, which was released already. He parallels his dedication to improving his songwriting skills while fighting complacency amidst success and basketball player skills during the summertime and struggling to remain hungry. Once you get to the season, it's too late to get better, Cole said. You better get ready naturally. But what you know is what you know. You're getting that shit off in the offseason. So that's really what it represents. It represents the time spent getting better and pushing. The article is similar to a 36-year-old's short film applying pressure, the offseason documentary that was released, which he explains his passions for basketball, recording tracks at a high creative level, and being a father. J. Cole's additional ties to basketball includes his own signature Puma basketball shoe, the Sky Dreamer, and the second edition Dreamer 2, each of which dropped in February of 2020 and January of 2021. And J. Cole, like I said, album 5. I haven't read the article in Slam Magazine, but that's what it looked like. J. Cole on the cover of Slam Magazine. And it's monumental. Like I said, it's an NFT that's monumental. It's good for J. Cole. It's good for Slam Magazine. It's good for hip-hop. You know, and because the brother doing this thing, man, and you can't be mad at him. And, you know, I myself hope to grace the cover of a magazine someday, looking regal and virile. I hope that's how I'm going to look on the cover of the magazine. So, shout out to the boy Cole, man, on that Slam Magazine, doing this thing, balling. We be on the Twanky Twankies. Play haters get found, stanky, stanky. So that's how we do it, man. Shout out to that boy Cole. All right, man. So let's not waste no more time, because the rest of the show is gonna be dedicated to his weekly rant. It's time for the weekly rant. Know how the song go. Let's get into this weekly rant. Let's get into this weekly rant. Y'all better leave Kwame Brown alone. Keep that man name out your mouth, especially when that man ain't say nothing. Botch it. That man ain't do nothing to you. That man was minding his own business. Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, Stephen A. Smith, and Charlamagne Tha God. Also, Skip Bayless. Not really Shannon Sharp, but, you know. Those are the main ones that in my crosshairs, you know. It's gonna get this. Gonna get this weekly rant wrath, right? See, this all started. Oh yeah, and this episode, shout out to Kwame Brown. It's in dedication to Kwame Brown, and saying that we rocking with you, Kwame Brown. His dedication is sponsored by Mama's Cooking. That's a Kwame Brown thing. I'm not stealing it. That's in dedication, and Mama's Cooking is sprinkled all over this, and that's in showing Kwame Brown some love. So this Mama's Cooking is sprinkled all over this, right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look at the Kwame Brown clips on TV. So Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson were on All the Smoke podcast with Gilbert Arenas. And around the 57-minute mark, they start to talk about Kwame Brown. And Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson made some sly comments, some coochie comments about Kwame Brown being a not-so-celebrated number one pick. A number one pick that didn't live up to their standards, saying he was a bust, saying he was trash and all these things. Throughout the last 20 years, Kwame Brown has been a punchline within the NBA. He was cool, he was chilling, they say nothing to nobody. So this is how all of this started. Matt Barnes made the comments, Steven Jackson made the comments, Gilbert Arenas was saying, I felt like Gilbert Arenas really didn't make no slight comments about him, but since he was in the room, he got the shrapnel. But Gilbert Arenas was explaining what happened with Kwame Brown when he got drafted to the Washington Wizards as a 17-year-old rookie straight out of high school. And Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan ain't the greatest leader, and he was trying to lead Kwame Brown the same way he did Scottie Pippen them. Grown men in their 30s versus 17-year-old, it didn't work. So Kwame Brown really didn't pan out the way Michael Jordan expected. But at the same time, when the Wizards drafted Kwame Brown, the intentions was to trade him for Elton Brand, but that didn't go through. So they were kind of, all right, we got Kwame Brown, what we're going to do with it, and it didn't work out. But Kwame Brown ultimately had a 12-year career. So people say he was a bust, all those things, but busts don't have 12-year basketball careers. I'm just saying. All right, so Matt Barnes makes his comments. Steven Jackson makes his comments. And then Kwame Brown goes off. So Matt Barnes is now known as Becky with the good hair. And Steven, he referred to him as Becky with the good hair. He referred to Steven Jackson as the fake thug. Both of them as fake thugs. He went took a lot of personal shots at all of them because of the things that they were saying. So it's back and forth between them and all that. Jemele Hill jumps in. Jemele Hill, sometimes, hey, man, Jemele Hill, you going to learn. You're going to learn to keep your mouth closed. Social media going to keep you in trouble. You're going to learn to keep your mouth closed and stay out of other folk business that ain't got nothing to do with you. So Jemele Hill going to tweet something, basically paraphrasing something like, oh, I see what's all this going on. I hope I've never said anything about Kwame Brown because I don't want to be in this crosshairs. Now your ass in the crosshairs, Jemele Hill. Be your ass quiet. Nobody said, it's like nobody, absolutely nobody. Jemele Hill. Well, I hope I ain't say nothing about Kwame Brown because I don't want Kwame Brown to say nothing about me. Set your ass up, Jemele Hill. Nobody asked you anything. This had nothing to do with you. So guess what? Now you got to get some of the smoke from Kwame Brown because you decided that you want to throw your tweets out. And then, you know, of course, all the sports shows and everybody talking about it because Kwame Brown right now is the people's champ. We ride with Kwame Brown because he's exposing everybody and everything. So he went in on Matt Barnes and his life and his personal stuff. Went in on Steven Jackson and his personal stuff, right? Went in on Jemele Hill. Stephen A. Smith. Somebody sent him videos of Stephen A. Matter of fact, Stephen A. Smith, I've been telling y'all about Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith. A lame, man. L-A-M-E, capital lame, man. I've been telling y'all about Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless for the longest, man. Stop trusting them dudes. I watched an 11-minute clip the other day of Stephen A. Smith talking jump about Kwame Brown through his career, calling him Kwame Brown. He called him that because he didn't respect his game. There's a video, 11-minute video of Stephen A. Smith disrespecting Kwame Brown, talking junk about him about his career. Talked to my homie Pat. He was saying there's like a 6-7-minute video of Stephen A. Smith just saying Kwame Brown. There are several videos of Stephen A. Smith at colleges using Kwame Brown, I guess, as the example of what not to be in life, even though the man had a 12-year career. I'm just saying, made $60 million. $60 million, 12 years in the NBA. All right. And he might not have panned out to what everybody else expected him to be, but he had a successful career. Sprinkled with mama's cooking. Right? He's able to buy his mom's a house, was able to do what he needed to do, and he's good. Ain't bothering nobody. So he had to give Stephen A. Smith the business. Had to give Skip Bayless the business because they sent videos of Skip Bayless. So I'm going to say Charlamagne Flash. So he going in on all those cats in the sports realm. Skip Bayless was like, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp was talking about it. And Kwame going off on everybody. So Kwame let Shannon Sharp have it. I'm not mad at what he said about Shannon Sharp, but I didn't think Shannon Sharp really said anything about him. But one of the main things Kwame Brown is saying, and a lot of people have been saying about a lot of the black men that are the main focus ones on these sports shows, like a Stephen A. Smith, like Matt Barnes and them, like Shannon Sharp, like Will Bond and them. Even though I ain't never really heard nobody say nothing about Will Bond till now, but I have heard a couple people, but it's like they're black, but they're not necessarily. They're basically the people that when we say all skin ain't kin, those are the people that a lot of people are talking about when they say no, all skin ain't kin. When I say it, I am talking about Stephen A. Smith. I am talking about him being skin that ain't kin. And Skip Bayless cannot be trusted. I've been telling y'all that any man that would go on the campaign to talk bad about a man for 19 years, you can't trust Skip Bayless. Fuck Skip Bayless. Fuck Stephen A. Smith as well, right? But it's like Stephen A. Smith and and them Skip Bayless, you know, they went out of their way to disrespect and talk bad about Kwame Brown over the years, throughout that man's career. Over the years, they went out of their way. Like, there's video of Jalen Rose defending Kwame Brown from Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless calling Kwame Brown a scrub. And Jalen Rose is like, well, how can you be a scrub and a bust and you have a 10-year career? So that's going on. So Kwame Brown going off on them for that. And then soft-ass Charlamagne decided he wanted to jump into it. And I saw a video today of Charlamagne issuing an apology for what he said. But basically what Charlamagne said is, what he said in his attempt to defend Kwame Brown, and if that was his attempt to defend Kwame Brown, that was a poor-ass attempt to defend Kwame Brown. But he went on the Breakfast Club, and he was saying, hey, y'all, he started off by saying, y'all better leave Kwame Brown alone. And then he said, y'all better leave Kwame Brown alone. And then went on to talk about how Kwame Brown's father beat this woman and basically killed this woman. Went on to tell the world about how Kwame Brown's brother was killed and all the interactions that they had. And Kwame Brown released a video saying, hey, Charlamagne, thank you for telling me how my father, what happened with my father in the murder, and how my father died and how my brother died and things that I didn't know. So Charlamagne and his alleged attempt to defend Kwame Brown exposed all that man business in his family. And then and his apology, he was saying, well, you know, I apologize for doing that, but that's just kind of what I'm used to doing. You know, when we around, we talk about things, we defend the people, we put all of it. I don't know people who, in defense of somebody, would just spill all their business. I don't know that. So Charlamagne, you a whole hoe for that, and you deserve everything you get. A whole hoe. Like Matt Barnes, you was a whole hoe because you started all this. You and Steven Jackson started all this. Y'all didn't have to say nothing about Kwame Brown on y'all show. That man wasn't saying nothing about y'all. That man wasn't messing with none of y'all. All the stuff that y'all been saying about Kwame Brown over the years, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, and all that stuff there, y'all ain't have to say it, but you did it. Now, y'all all hoes for that. All y'all. Charlamagne, Stephen A., Skip, Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, all y'all folk. Y'all some hoes. Straight, nasty, crack hoes with crabs and herpes. Hoes, bitch boys, fuck boys, can't be trusted boys, skin ain't canless boys. It's whole shit. It's whole shit. You didn't have to say a damn thing about the man, but you decided to say something about that man, take shots at the man, and here we are. Kwame Brown is exposing everything. Kwame Brown, his rebuttals are legendary. He's letting them have it, and the people are riding with Kwame Brown. Leave that goddamn man alone. Keep that man name out your mouth. Y'all, the fact that you are Jermaine here too, the fact that you all are saying what y'all are saying. Like, if I'm Shannon Sharp, I'm any of these people, and they ask me about this Kwame Brown situation back pre-show, we to get the show together. I'm not. They ask me, I ain't saying nothing about Kwame Brown. I ain't got nothing to say about Kwame Brown. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I ain't got nothing to say about it. I talk about the other people and saying they shouldn't have been saying nothing, but I ain't saying nothing about Kwame Brown. That man didn't do nothing about it. Stop trying to defend things. Stop trying to explain things for other people and all these different things. Sometimes you just got to leave stuff alone. Sometimes you got to do it. But even Skip Bayless is like, well, I'm going to give him a pass on this because with the personal shots, like, who cares if y'all like or dislike the personal shots that he's taking? That man saying what he's saying because for the last 20 years, y'all made that man a punchline. For the last 20 years, y'all been fucking with that man. Instead of trying to uplift that man, y'all decided to ride down on that man. So this is Kwame's revenge, and the people are with Kwame Brown because y'all should have shut y'all motherfucking mouths up, but you didn't, and you started talking. So here it is, and we loving what the fuck Kwame Brown doing. All hell, Kwame Brown. Keep the pressure on they motherfucking asses because they shouldn't have been fucking with you. Leave people alone. How hard is it to leave people alone, especially people who ain't messing with you? See, what y'all done did, you done fucked with the wrong person. You done fucked with a person that you can't control. You done fucked with a person who no corporation is behind. You can't get them in trouble. You can't tell nobody on them. He got his own platform and he got his own thing and he can release his own shit and he can lean on you and ain't nobody you can tell and ain't nothing you can do to get him up off your ass. He went in on Charlamagne bitch ass like he's supposed to. Fuck you, Charlamagne. The one thing he said about Charlamagne, that after Charlamagne exposed all his family businesses, he went back. He reminded us of a clip where Charlamagne talked about how he gave a girl some alcohol with the Spanish fly in it and got her drunk and inhibited and had sex with her, allegedly. Well, no, Charlamagne told that story. That's the story Charlamagne told. So Kwame Brown brought that back up, how Charlamagne could tell that story and suffer no consequences. And I think they said he eventually married the woman. That's the one he's married to. But Kwame Brown also pointed out something else. Kwame Brown was a part of the 2001 draft, the first pick of the 2001 draft, 17-year-old pick out of high school. The 2001 draft was one around the first time when they started talking about players possibly shouldn't be coming out of high school. They should be going, spending at least 1 year in the NBA and NCAA before they go straight to the NBA. 2005 was the last time a player was drafted straight out of high school. I forgot the young man's name, but 2005. After that, you have the mandatory 1 year in the NCAA. Which is unconstitutional, by the way, denying the person the right to work. But it was all a plot, and Kwame Brown helped put the dots together. It was all a plot to make sure that the NCAA can continue to make money off the players. If they, at least for 1 or 2 years, make money off of them, maybe not 3 or 4 like in the past, but at least 1 or 2 years, make money off these big name players coming out of high school before they go to the league. It's all about money. It's all about positioning. And it was all about demonizing these draft picks from 2001 to 2005, especially picks coming out of high school, to make it say, hey, these guys are not successful. These guys are not ready. This is not happening. These guys need to be made to go to college for 1 year, which will put money back into the NCAA's pocket because the NCAA was in fear of losing money moving forward. That's how we got to where we are right now with what's going on. And Kwame Brown ain't doing nothing but sprinkle some mama's cooking on all that and let us know and be able to connect the dots. Now I'm in that light bulb just going off like, oh, man, that's wild. But none of this would, we wouldn't be here if Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson would have just been cool and not been on that whole shit and not been calling people out. So Matt Barnes, you are forever now Becky with the good hair. That ain't going nowhere. You got a hood nickname that ain't going nowhere. Becky with the good hair. So every time people think about Matt Barnes, they're going to think about Becky with the good hair. And of course, he called Steven Jackson all kind of fake thugs and fake Muslims and all these things here. And, you know, leave people alone, though. I don't get it. I don't get the need to go out and do some of the things. Some people are just attention seekers like Jemele Hill. Jemele Hill saw something going on and said, hey, ain't nobody saying my name. So let me insert my name so I can be a part of this, too, because I want people to talk about me because I don't know. Jemele, sit your ass down. That shit just lame. Sit your ass down, man. Charlamagne, sit your bitch ass down. Anybody ask you to say shit? Anybody ask you for nothing, to add nothing to none of this shit? I hope Kwame Brown don't let up off your motherfucking ass. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, I hope you don't let up off y'all ass. And Skip Bayless, I hope you don't let up off y'all ass. Y'all need to shut the fuck up and grow up. Learn how to be real men. Stop being on that whole shit and saying shit that you ain't supposed to be saying. Talk about people and fucking with people and all this shit here. Grow the fuck up. And that right there is an episode of the Fit Sports Podcast. Remember, you can catch the full episode right on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, we are also on this is our YouTube channel. So like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. Join my Fit Sports Podcast Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. We're also available on Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. And support, support, support www.freedomtrainradio.com. Until next time, y'all better keep Kwame Brown name. And-